Good morning. Today we're going to be reading in Psalm 23, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there, and we'll try to read the entire psalm this time, first time through. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up. So Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. God, I just thank you for this day. I just thank you for the really nice weather that we're having, God. And I just thank you for this technology that allows us to, in some ways, get together, God. I know this isn't ideal. This isn't the situation that we want, God. But at the same time, we're thankful for just how you provide for us and how we are able to still gather together, God. And I just thank you for your word and just the promises that you give us, Lord, that you are our shepherd. And that we can take comfort in that, God. This promises to believers, God, people who trust in you. And God, we're putting our trust in you, and we hope in you. And God, I just thank you that our cup overflows, that you are our God, and that we can put our hope in you. Lord, I pray that as we enter this time of worship, God, and hearing from your word, that you just prepare our hearts so that we might glorify you. Offer up these songs, God, not just as songs that we sing, not just as a platform for ourselves, God, but as a platform to glorify you, God, as songs that we offer up as an offering to you, God. So work in our hearts, prepare our hearts for worship, and just bless the message that we hear in the word that's read today so that it might change our lives and make a difference in our lives and change who we are, God. Start shaping us more and more into your image and your likeness, God. So I thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So if you want to sit, stand, do jumping jacks, I'm not going to see it, so. Better.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever with thee. Is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. Mercies I see, all I hath needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their forces above, join with all nature in manifold wisdom. To thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beings. aside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Yes, I'll worship Your holy name. Lord, I'll worship Your holy name.
You may be seated.
All right, I hear that we're already having more difficulties with stuff. Bear with us as we continue on. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're just so grateful that we can use technology to reach others for you so they can hear your message, so they can sing your praises as we sing together from distance. Lord, we look to you at this time. We look to you for your guidance, especially the guidance for our country. Lord, we need to turn to you, turn to your way, and not let fear overtake us, because as we look at all of this, you are way bigger than any illness, any sickness. You are way bigger than any problem. Lord, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. If you created them and you know all, we've got no reason to fear or to doubt you, because Lord, you are in control. You oversee all, and you will see us through this, whatever that looks like. Right now, we don't know. We're relying on you and your works, and we thank you that we can come to you, that we can lean on you, that that's what you want us to do. And Lord, I ask that you're with all those who are having a hard time with occupation, with depression right now. A number of people going through depression because they can't get out of their house that they're in, the room that they're in. The social distancing is taking its toll on people. Lord, I ask that you intervene there. And we ultimately ask that you bring this to an end, and that we can go back and not go back to normal, but go back to something new. Something to where we can serve you, whatever that looks like. How we can show our neighbors the love of Christ in unique ways. Lord, help us to look forward to you and to what you're going to do. And Lord, as we go through our study today, open up, again, we ask that you open up our hearts to your word. Speak to us through your writing that you have preserved through the ages, that it has withstood persecution and threats of being outlawed in certain places. And Lord, make it relevant, your truth to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week we talked about the resurrection, something we need to be talking about at all time. The focal point of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christian faith. If there was no resurrection, we would serve a God who has died that could not beat death again. We have a God that is big, who defeated death and sin. And we need to keep remembering that as we keep going through, as we keep pushing through. And it leads right into the text today about you do take care of us, and you will be glorified through it all. And we'll continue our series in the Faith Works, the Great Debate, Part 2, in the book of James. So open up your Bible to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're going to read chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. And our focus will be on verses 20 through 23, but we're going to read it within the context. So we're seeing the whole picture here. And it says, "But some will say to you, some will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one, and you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness.' And he was called a friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. "And in the same way, will not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." Now, James, 2 weeks ago, we got done talking about James, how he made a statement. He made this, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works." He has been proving that faith without works is dead faith. See, dead faith leads to nothing. Without works, without deeds, how can one prove that they are a believer in Christ? And that is his argument. Are people truly serving Christ, or are they just using the name of Jesus to make themselves look extra spiritually good, to self-elevate themselves? You see, what it's saying is a lot of people know Jesus. A lot of people have a head knowledge of Christ, but it's got to go from the head to the heart. One must live out what they believe, and whether you like it or not, you do live out what you believe. If you follow Jesus, you're going to live that out. If you don't follow Jesus, that will be evident. You could talk a good talk, but will it show through what you do? And James, now he's using Scripture to prove his point. Of course, when James uses Scripture, he's got to use the Old Testament, because the book of James is one of the first penned books, most scholars believe. So he's using the Old Testament, plus he's using the teachings of Jesus. And it kind of works together pretty good. Now he makes this statement in verse 20. He says, Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" Now he's actually really calling these people out. And he calls them a fool. He's saying, "You're a fool for not understanding truth." So we can see there's some frustration going on here in his writing. And that is why James quotes the Pentateuch to them, or as they would know it, as the Book of Law, to prove that they're wrong in their thinking, and that one is thinking that the one did not have to live out their faith, rather their faith will be evident. Now, he's arguing that faith apart from works is useless, and uses a well-known person, this man, and most people know who he was. His name was Abraham. And Abraham was a very unique person because God had great plans for him. Abraham was a man of faith. And of course, he was the father of the Hebrew nation. Now, James, he sums up this huge event from Genesis 22, where Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his one and only son, Isaac. Now, this was a test of faith. Now, as we remember, Isaac was the promised son of God's plan. God had great plans for this person. And this is what God was doing. He wanted to test Abraham to see if he'd be really obedient. "Abraham, do you trust me? Do you trust me to have you do something to your one and only son, the son of promise?" So as we look in Genesis 22, 5, Genesis 22, verse 2, it says, "Take your son," God told Abraham, "take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you." God kind of does that to Abraham. I kind of feel bad for him. The first calling, he had to go leave his homeland and go to a place that God will show him. He did that. He had no idea where he was going. God said, "Go," and he left. And that's exactly what he did this go around too. He says, "Take your son and offer him as a sacrifice." I can't imagine what was going through his mind, but the text tells us that he left in a timely manner because he went the very next day. I don't know when he got this message, but you need to have time to get supplies together. You can't just, back in this time, it took a while to go places. There was very few stores along the way, I imagine. There was no Walmart they could go to get supplies if they ran out of bread or something. They had to pack it all with them. There was no farewell party either. He got the message the very next day he left. He left. Abraham, Isaac, and two other men went and got some wood for the sacrifice and again headed to the place that God will show them. And then it took them 3 days to get there. 3 days God revealed the place and the altar to Abraham. I love how Abraham responds at this moment when he gets there. Now, to most readers of this narrative, it appears that Isaac is going to be killed in a few hours. As that place was revealed to him, Abraham made a faithful statement. For he says in Genesis 22:5, he says, "Stay here," referring to the other two men with him. "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there, worship, and come to you again." Now keep that in your minds. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again. Remember that. So they got up there. They got the wood ready. I hope he had his knife pre-sharpened so he wasn't doing it in front of Isaac. That would just be a little morbid for most people. Had his knife ready. Had the wood ready. Got some rope and bound his son. Laid him on the altar. And Abraham was getting ready to offer his son. Then as soon as Abraham was going to strike Isaac, God intervened through a messenger. Genesis 22:11-12 tells us. "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, saying, 'Abraham, Abraham!' And he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" This entire narrative was a test for Abraham. God tested his faith. He withheld nothing. Abraham withheld nothing, not even his only son. Verse 5, remember verse 5? "I and the boy will go over there and worship and will come to you." Now the thing with Abraham, he was confident. He was confident. I imagine two things were going through his mind. Two things. One, his son would be resurrected. He says, "I can put this knife through him, kill him, and God will bring him back." Or two, he will be stopped. I believe Abraham was that confident in order to go up there and do that. Because he understood that God had a plan, God had a purpose for his son. He had faith in God and kept his word and obeyed. Abraham was confident that he and his son would return and all would be pretty good, all right. Abraham's faith was revealed through this act, as James tells the readers in verses in James 2:21-22. He says, "Was it not Abraham our father, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac by the altar?" You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Now when James says our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac on the altar, it does not mean that he and Paul we're teaching two different doctrines. People say there's this headbutting here, and there's not, because in here he says Abraham was justified by works when he offered up his son. Rather, it means that faith should be accompanied by works. That's James' whole argument. Should be accompanied by works, by deeds. Abraham proved his faith through his obedience. Works is an outward way of showing faith. They go together. This is part of growing as a Christian, or called the sanctification process. And what it is that the believer is being made perfect and will be perfect when they are with the Lord. You see, when it comes to salvation, somebody says, I'm saved, right? Again, saved is past tense. It's past tense. So you're saved, justified, declared righteous, and that justified character will show out through your works as you are being sanctified, being made towards perfection. Now, are you going to be perfect on this earth? No. You're going to fall short. But God has covered you. The third process, the third part of salvation is a glorification, to where you're with the Lord, and He has then made you perfect when you are with Him. But we're right here, right now. It's a process. We're growing. We're being shaped. We're being stretched. We're being tested. And we have opportunities to live out what we believe. Now, the person must be saved before they can have fruitful works for the Lord. One has to be saved in order to be justified. So James goes back to the beginning of Abraham's call by God, and he quotes Genesis 15:6, which says, "And he believed the Lord, and he counted to him as righteousness." He believed first. Then his faith showed through the testing of God. And through that, James calls Abraham a friend of God due to his obedience to God. He was obedient, he was faithful, he served. He withheld nothing from God. Now James, he used the Old Testament scriptures to bring out his point. Faith is revealed by the works that people do. He looked at Abraham and saw his faith. He withheld nothing from God. And he didn't hesitate to even offer his one and only son to please God. He did this because he trusted God with all his heart. He understood that God had a plan and he went along with it. Oh, to have faith that does not fear or doubt. Does not doubt what God will do. As I look upon that narrative that we looked at today, God, I'm thinking, how is our faith doing? How is our faith doing? Do we trust God with the big things? Do we trust God with the small things? Are we trusting God to see us through situations? Are we trusting that He knows the very things that are happening in our lives? As of right now, again, we've got this virus that people are fearing right now. And it's a real thing, from what I understand. But when you think about it, isn't God much bigger than that? Isn't He going to see us through it? He's going to be glorified through this. And right now, we've got to keep looking towards Him, keep looking towards His goodness, His grace, keep looking at the resurrection. Jesus defeated death and sin. A little virus isn't outside of Him. You see, we want to be in control. We like to be in control because we're humans. We must give control to God. Surrender to Him. Now here's the thing. He wants all. Your whole being. Not just parts of you. He wants you to submit to Him, to serve Him. Abraham gave his only son to God. Now this is a unique situation for Abraham. He gave him his son. What are you going to give him so you can trust him more? We have this opportunity now to trust him even more. Again, the first thing we should surrender is control. Now that can be scary. However, God has it. God has us. He's bigger than anything we'll come across. Besides that, He created all kinds of cool things. He created the bumblebee. He created the grass, the flowers. He created that naughty S word, snow, that happens around the world sometimes. He created the trees, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans. Those weird things that swim in the oceans that we haven't found yet. He created them. And He has made a promise. And He keeps it. And He never goes back on them. Give the reins to God. And do not co-pilot. You and God are not on the same level. Do not think you can take control when you want to. That's what a co-pilot does. They help out take control. Give it to God. Go to the back and do the work that you're supposed to do, and He will guide you. Submit to God. Trust that He will lead you through day by day, moment by moment. Next one, we need not to worry. Oh boy. In a time like this, how can we not worry? It seems like the world's crashing around. It says, do not worry. When we worry, we have a negative effect on our bodies and, of course, our mental state. When we worry, we tend to stay up at night. Our brains don't shut off. We go through the what-ifs. How is this going to happen? What's going to happen here? How do I take care of this? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Should I call them? Don't worry. Don't worry. And lack of sleep makes you tired the next day. Your productivity goes down, your health goes down, you need your sleep and your rest. It affects you as a person. See, it's easy to say, hard to do. Because we want control. When we don't have control, what do? We worry. Here's the deal. The Bible tells us not to worry. God takes care of those critters out there. He gets them ready for us for hunting season so we can partake of that as well. He takes care of them, meets their needs. Even the birds He takes care of, He knows them. He tells us not to worry, but trust in the Lord. Philippians 4:6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, another thing to surrender is money. Now, we like to hold on to our money. We kind of like to store it up and save it here and there. Keep it to ourselves. However, is it really ours? Does God allow you to work? Did He put you in that position? It's God's. It's God's. God wants to take control of our money. However, money has the potential to become an idol if we place it ahead of God. When we start to worship it, start to do things that would compromise our character. God wants to bless us. So we need to put our finances in the right place. Where's that right place? In God's hands. God will take care of us. We simply need to surrender our finances and obey His leading. The next thing we can surrender is relationships. Surrendering to God's sovereign will in our relationship shows that we trust Him with the people that we care about. Now, we can't be everybody's personal savior and hero, although some people try. However, I know a person that can. That's Jesus. He took the cross because He loves all of us, including those whom we hold dear, those most precious to us, and those that we keep distance from. We must do everything in our power to show love and care for those entrusted to us, and trust God with the rest. Trust God with the rest. Finally, letting go of your future. We only live one day at a time. Now, when we live in the future, it robs us from today, the joy of today. We worry about the future. We worry about what's going to happen. How can I handle this? And some people are worried about, well, I'm losing my job here. I've lost my job. How do I do this? What's going to happen? How am I going to get through this? See, God has never promised us another day or another moment. We have today. We are to serve Him each day. And we miss that joy when we allow our minds to dwell on the unknowns. See, we can trust God with our future. And right now, a lot of us are going through it right now. What's going to happen? What's going to happen in the future? Instead of that, say, God's got the future. I'm supposed to be responsible with what I have right now. I need to do what I need to do right now, and God will fill in the gaps. We need to focus on Him today. Trying to control the future is like trying to control a herd of cats. It doesn't happen. When we're content with today, it will help prevent our eyes from wandering off to tomorrow. Yes, it's good to have plans. It really is. But God can change those plans. He's been known to do it. Keep focusing on Him today. Today. Now, today we saw that Abraham, we saw the faith of Abraham, how he held nothing back. He gave it to God. We saw that faith and deeds go hand in hand. Deeds are proof of faith. How strong is your faith? How strong is it? Will you show your faith by trusting in God? What will you give Him you've been keeping to yourself? Now, we like to give things to God, right? Like, God, take this, and we dump it at Him, right? How many of us go back and take back our garbage? We do that. Keep it there. Keep it there. Trust Him with it. Trust Him. Let go. Hang on to God. He's got us. We have to grab back. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. Keep hold of God, trust Him, look to Him, seek Him day by day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You so much for what You did. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross so we can have this relationship with You. You sent Him to die for our sins. Nothing that we could do could ever save us. It was only You. It was only You that can save us. And Lord, right now, as believers in Jesus Christ, help us to live out our faith. Help us to be bold. Help us to stand up for what is right, what is good. We're going to be persecuted. And Lord, as things are shaping up right now, there's a lot of decisions that need to be made, and with the country not back to working, and they're making plans to get it back. Lord, I ask that we seek You in all that we do, Your plan, Your timing. And I ask that You guide those governors over the states, on their choices. Lord, as Christians, as we're in this, we are living in this world. We're not a part of this world. Help us to show the world what a believer in Christ looks like. Help us to show our faith. Help us to live it out. Help us to know when to stand strong. And Lord, get us ready for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you want to join us in singing this last song, we know we serve a great God, and so just singing about that right now, just how great he is, and we can trust that great God.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Amen. Have a good day.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.